From America's frontier, Nebraska, it's the Outdoor Connection with Rick Windham on News Talk 1240 KODY.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Outdoor Connection. My guest this morning is Pete Berthelsen. He is the president of an organization known as the Conservation Blueprint. Good morning, Pete. How are you doing?
Good morning. Long time no talk.
Yeah, it's been a while. You are an alumni of the show, and thank you very much for being there when we need to call and get something on the air like this. What have you been up to?
Yeah. Well, busy is a good thing, and I've been involved in lots of good things. Real busy, working on stuff all across the country, and excited to chat today.
Very good. Let's get some of the basics out of the way. Tell us a little bit about Conservation Partnership and its mission.
Yeah, so Conservation Blueprint is, at its heart, it's a consulting business. Work on wildlife conservation, design seed mixtures for projects, work on a lot of projects across the country, and we're connecting today, I think, because one of the things that we do is every month we release what we call a pollinator habitat tip, a short little video that talks about some things, and because of the timeliness, the last one that we did talked about tagging monarch butterflies that are on their annual migration.
That's what prompted me to send you an email and see if you wanted to come on and talk about that, because I know you've been involved in that, and particularly within the realm of pollinators for a number of years. I understand right now we are in that period of time when the monarchs migrate. What stage of that migration are we in at the moment?
Well, Rick, let me start by opening this up. Right now, everybody that walks outside can be in the middle of one of the greatest miracles that God ever created in nature. How's that for an opening line?
I'm sitting back in awe.
One of the greatest miracles. And, you know, Rick, I think most people, number one, everybody knows what a monarch butterfly is. It's the number one most iconically recognized insect in the country. Number two would be honeybees. But everybody knows what a monarch butterfly is. We grew up with it. Most people know that a monarch butterfly requires a milkweed plant to lay its egg on for the caterpillar to eat and then eventually become a butterfly.
Right.
But not many people know that every year at this time of the year, a migration occurs where the monarch butterfly goes from the northern reaches of this country and into Canada 2,000 to 3,000 miles to a specific mountaintop in central Mexico. And Rick, that's pretty impressive, really impressive, but here's the miracle part of it. The butterfly that goes back to the same spot is 4 generations removed from the one that left there last March.
And that is...
So think about that.
That's the one that just baffles me. How do they know?
Let me try to put it in perspective for your listeners. My grandparents immigrated to America from Denmark and homesteaded here. This would be like me returning to the farm that my great-great-grandfather had in Denmark and me going to the farm and finding it without anybody telling me anything.
Yeah, no map, no recollection of what it looked like. It's amazing.
If this doesn't highlight the fact that there's a of everything happening and in nature, nothing does. And we have the opportunity to walk outdoor right now in the first half of September every year and know that every monarch you see is on that journey to go to the great-great-grandfather's roosting spot from last year, and nobody told it how to get there.
Right.
That, my friend, is a mind blower.
Now, you mentioned they're down in southern central Mexico. I also think it's unique that, you know, we always talk about how technologically advanced we are as a society, yet we learn things every day. And we didn't even know where the monarchs went until, I think it was about 30 years ago, when they finally discovered
the
where
70s.
It was. 70, yeah, late 70s.
Yep, in the 70s. And, you know, Rick, they go there because this is where they overwinter. So they cluster on mountaintops that are at a certain temperature, right around, and they just kind of, and then in March, those butterflies start to head north. And there's a Rocky Mountain range, central Mexico, that is a couple size, and you want to talk about, you know, hitting the bullseye with the dart. That's just another part of this miraculous story.
I have seen a couple pictures of that when all the monarchs are there. And you think about, you know, a butterfly doesn't weigh very much, but there are so many butterflies on the hanging down under the weight. It looks like willows. Just billions there.
Butterfly wings, so some of them fly around. And just with the weight of millions and millions of monarch butterflies on a branch.
Now, the fact that they're moving to this portion in Mexico tends to make you think that they don't tolerate cold weather. How has our recent weather change impacted them? Has it
So all insects don't have the ability to their body temperature. In the big picture of life, that's a great thing, because that means that when it gets cold, we get rid of flies.
Yeah, mosquitoes.
Mosquitoes and all those critters that we don't like. Well, monarch butterflies migrate to be able to handle that situation because they can't overwinter. That's what Mexico. It's not hibernation. They just go into a state where they don't move. They're in kind of torpor. So, yeah, so the cold weather, kind of really abnormally cold weather that we've had here in the last, 4 or 5 days, has really sped up the migration, and it has been aided by the fact that we have had some northerly winds which help aid the monarch butterfly on its migration south.
Now, from what I remember from my biology classes covering butterflies and monarchs in particular, even something as what we might consider as minor as frost on the butterfly, on its wings, is lethal. So it's a serious situation for it to hit cold weather.
Yeah, they don't have the ability to regulate their body temperature. They're not, you know, they're not mammals. They don't have fur. They don't thermoregulate. So, yeah, that's a very serious condition. They can take something that is pretty cold, not freezing, but pretty cold for a short period of time. But then, you know, they have to be back active and feeding and that sort of thing.
Right. The tagging program that you're tell us about what you and your volunteers are doing, and explain the process of the capture, the tagging, the data logging, the release. How does all that go?
Yeah, so in the fourth generation, not the first one, two, or three generations in a year, but this generation is the one that migrates. While monarch butterflies are moving through the area, heading south, we go out and we capture them with a simple butterfly net. And there's a small tag with a serial number. It's just a small dot with adhesive on one side and has a small serial number on it. We adhere to the wing in a very specific location that does not affect the butterfly's flight or mobility or anything like that. And we tag them on those monarchs that are heading down to Mexico. And when those tags are retrieved, whether in Mexico or when they start north next year, it gives us information about the success of the migration, the pace of the migration, what regions of the country contribute the most to monarchs in Mexico. It gives us a really, really wide range of very important information. And like you said, it was just in the 70s that we learned that they all went there. So there's lots that we don't know about monarch butterflies. And it's a really important species for some things that we're going to talk about coming up here in just shortly.
Yep. We got to take a commercial break now, but stay with us, Pete, because I do have some more questions for you. Hang on, folks. We'll be back and into these messages.
On Monday, Joe Biden appeared on a web streaming program with AFL-CIO boss Richard Trumka. Biden played the tough guy. Biden promised to be the strongest labor president this country's ever seen. He wants a national $15 an hour minimum wage. He says he's going to ban right-to-work laws, forcing people to pay union dues even if they don't want to, even if they don't agree with the millions of dollars unions give to Democrats. Then the tough guy Biden went a step further. He said that if company executives interfere with workers trying to unionize, he's going to punish them. Fining corporations, that wouldn't be enough. Biden says if business executives do the wrong thing when it comes to employees wanting a union, he's going to make them pay a personal price. Joe Biden said all this while he was online with that top boss, Richard Trumka of the AFL-CIO, which has a long history of making business owners and others pay a personal price for going against their agenda. Now, Joe doesn't care that unions are mostly bad for business and bad for economic growth, which is why so many businesses have shed their unionized workforce. But that doesn't stop Sleepy Joe hiding. No, not only will he kill jobs, it sounds like he plans to do serious personal harm to the job creators. If he remembers, that's the saving grace here. He may forget all this by tomorrow. Finding the right person for the open position within your company, it's no easy feat. You can post the job, you can see hundreds of incoming resumes and inquiries, but finding the right person, that's what you're really looking for. ZipRecruiter helps you find that right person. ZipRecruiter does not depend on candidates finding you, it finds them for you. Their online technology identifies people with the right experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. It's how the owner of a construction company, Monica Starks of GS Group, makes the perfect hire for pivotal positions. Through ZipRecruiter, Monica's company has hired the right project managers, field scientists, and accountants. She's not the only employer to love ZipRecruiter's technology and success. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter makes hiring faster and easier. Try ZipRecruiter now for free and see for yourself. ZipRecruiter.com/rush. Very simple. ZipRecruiter.com/rush.
Welcome back, everybody. We're talking with Pete Berthelsen this morning with Conservation Blueprint, and we're talking about monarch butterflies. When we left Pete, we talked about some of the special things with the monarchs. Why is there such a focus on monarch butterflies for this particular project?
Well, I think one of the most important reasons is that in just a couple of months, in December, the Fish and Wildlife Service will be coming out with their Endangered Species Act listing for monarch butterflies. So think about that. The monarch butterfly that we all know, we all grew up with, is really imperiled. Its populations have decreased by 80% over the last 20 years. That's pretty alarming. Mm-hmm. And they're looking at an Endangered Species Act listing, which could have the potential to have enormous impacts on farming and ranching. It's a species that's very widely distributed, closely associated with agriculture, and it travels all the way to Mexico. Ginormous impact. How's that?
That's a spell ginormous.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to quote you right, so. As far as the project is going right now and the tagging that you're doing, do you need more volunteers? Can people get involved?
Sure. The number one thing that I think everybody could do is habitat. You know, whether you are a pheasant or a grassland songbird or deer or a monarch butterfly, it really always comes down to habitat. And the good news about monarch butterflies and other pollinator species is you don't have to be a farmer or rancher to have an impact. You can have an impact in your backyard, on your patio. You can provide the plant species that provide the forage and nutrition for a wide range of pollinator species, including monarch butterflies and honeybees and native bees and things like that. So it really always comes down to habitat. That's not a shock to either you or I.
No.
And I guess I want to look forward, Don, that listener that's listening today that has the opportunity to work on a project 2 acres or larger, or they can do several projects that add up to 2 acres. We have I get to work with a nonprofit called the Bee and Butterfly Habitat Fund that will provide you the technical guidance and provide you with free pollinator seed mixtures. And those can be pretty expensive.
That's nice to know. How do they get in touch with you, Pete, if they want to know how to do that?
Yeah, so Conservation Blueprint is on all the social media and has all the stuff going on. We have a Facebook page. We have a Twitter account. We have a YouTube page. And then we have a website, conservationblueprint.com. You can give us a call here in Nebraska at 308-390-0848. And I can connect you with the Bee and Butterfly Habitat Fund, but they also have a website and a Facebook page and all of those kinds of things. And it's pretty enjoyable being able to work with a nonprofit like that that provides free pollinator seed mixtures to be able to work with folks that are out there in your listening audience.
I have a few spots in my yard, if you want to call it that, that I have planted certain things that are known to attract butterflies. And even in that small footprint that I have, which is just maybe a couple hundred square feet total, I'm amazed at how many butterflies come into that.
You know, we've all heard the story, if you build it, they will come.
Yes.
Well, a flower garden along a house, potted plants on a patio, a backyard pollinator garden, all of those things can have a tremendous impact. And then, of course, we also are interested in the larger projects. But the take-home message is that everybody has the opportunity to do something and participate in the greatest miracle that occurs in nature that's going on right now.
Very good. That is... One thing else I want to let people hear from you and maybe take away from this show is how important pollinators are to us and our food that we have. You have quoted a number to me a couple times of how much of agriculture would cease if it weren't for pollinators. Tell people a little bit about that.
Yeah. Well, pollinators are important only if you like to eat. You know? One in three bites of food that we consume require a pollinator to put on our plate. And a pollinator is simply something that takes the male part of the plant and gets it to the female part of the plant. And insects are really good at it because they have these little hairs on their bodies and the pollen sticks to it, and they make that stuff happen. When you know, we live in a part of the world where we're dominated by corn and soybeans. Those are crops that don't necessarily require a pollinator to make food. But if you like almonds, apples, blueberries, cranberries, any of the nuts, most of the fruits, your vegetables in your garden, you have to have a pollinator species to get that onto your plate.
That's amazing. Another sign that, you know, there's got to be a God out there running all this, because we're not smart enough to figure that all out.
You got that right. Absolutely.
Pete, unfortunately, we're out of time, but thanks again for being on the show, and I bet I'll be in touch with you again sometime.
Let's do it again, Rick.
All right. Thank you very much. That's
you
it.
Bet.
That's it for this week, folks. We'll see you next time on another edition of the Outdoor Connection.